me today is a very special guest. We have Luke Nguyen with us today. Welcome.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
I want to tell people a bit about you because you've accomplished so much and you're still so young. And I think we need to brag a little bit about you. So bear with me.
Okay.
Get comfortable. It might take only a few minutes.
Yeah? Okay.
So you're a Vietnamese-Australian chef and restaurateur. At 23, you opened up your first restaurant, mm-hmm. Red Lantern, which is the most awarded Vietnamese restaurant in the world, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
Not in Australia, in the world.
Yes.
Excellent. You are the host of multiple TV shows, including Luke Nguyen's Vietnam, mm-hmm. Luke Nguyen's France, The Greater Mekong, so on and so on. You were the judge of MasterChef Vietnam.
Yes.
Guest judge on MasterChef Australia and Destination Flavour, mm-hmm. and Gordon Ramsay's Great Escape.
Yes.
Which
You're
one
good.
Am I missing?
You're good. No.
Which one am I missing?
Well done. No, I think you've covered it all.
Covered it all. Yeah. And you're also the author of multiple books, including this one.
That one.
Is the latest. Yes, that one. That's the latest one.
Yes, and that's the latest TV series as well.
Yes, ties in with the show, right?
Correct.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, well, street food is, for me, it's my biggest inspiration for everything I do.
Yeah.
All the restaurants, you know, Red Lantern, Fat Noodle, my new up-and-coming restaurant in Hong Kong, and also the cooking school. Everything is inspired and motivated through my street food findings. And I travel through Saigon, Bangkok, Kuala Lumpur, and Jakarta, and finding all the unique street food joints, you know. Not the ones that you can just get online and have a look, but a real local insight into where to find the secret street food places of those cities.
And I think,
Yeah, so I wanted to create not just a recipe book, but, you know, a travel guide as well. And for me, every dish that we create and that we eat has a great story behind it.
Yeah.
And I want to share those stories. And so, hence the book, Street Food Asia.
I think this is what kind of this book set, what sets this book apart from a lot of other books is that those little comments that you put on pretty much every recipe, on where you can find that recipe, the best place to find that recipe in Saigon or in Jakarta, and that's what's brilliant, and that's what I was saying before to you, like this is the perfect travel companion.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Yes.
So, you know, when you go to a city or a country and you don't speak the language,
yeah.
but you're looking at the dish that the street vendors are cooking, you're like, oh, I want to eat that. I wonder what it is. But, you might be able to sit down and just order a serve, but how do you eat it, you know?
Yeah.
What are the accompaniments? What matches this dish? So I think it's important to kind of say, hey, this is where you find the dish, but also this is the information that you need to really enjoy it. Yeah.
Definitely.
And how even down to how much it costs as well.
Yeah. You've covered everything here.
Yeah.
Perfect book. Get it. So now, as I was flicking through, I've picked out a few of my favorite recipes.
Oh, good.
And actually, the whole book is my favorite recipes, but I've picked out a few for now.
Okay.
And I thought we'd play a little game called Fact or Fib.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feed you a few statements about the key ingredient in the recipe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you would tell me if this statement is a fib, fact or a fib.
Excellent.
So one of the recipes you have is the Chinese donuts.
Yes.
Okay. Me, well, along with probably millions of other people, I love donuts. What is the difference between the Chinese donut and the just kind of the donuts we find?
Yeah, well, the Chinese donut is a savory donut, right?
Yeah.
It's not a sweet, sugary donut. And the Chinese donut is eaten with meals. So it's eaten with either a morning congee.
Okay.
In the north of Vietnam, it's eaten with pho, right?
Yep.
Or it's just eaten as a snack. So we don't eat it as a sweet finish. It's eaten to accompany foods.
Okay.
And it's a long, looks like double stick donuts. And I love it. Texturally, it's fantastic. It's hollow in the middle. It's a little bit chewy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice and crunchy on the outside. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really lovely. It's called a Chinese donut because that's where it's originated from.
Okay.
But all through Asia, Southeast Asia, eat Chinese donuts.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, all right. First statement. Over 10 billion donuts are made in Canada every year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
10 billion
in
Canada.
Fact or fib?
10 billion?
Hmm.
That's a lot of donuts.
That's a lot of donuts.
I'll be afraid if Canadians are eating 10 billion. I would want to say fib.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick by because I don't want people to eat 10 billion sweet donuts. Oh my gosh. I'm going to say fib.
Fib. It is actually a fib, but over 10 billion donuts are actually made in the US every year.
See, that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that worries me.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try to cut that down.
Yeah.
To 10
yeah.
million.
10 million. Okay. So the French have their own version of donuts, which is their airy and their fried dough fritters, apparently. Mm-hmm. So a little bit different to the Chinese and kind of the American donuts. And excuse my pronunciation, but apparently they're called petits-nons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you translate it, that means nun's farts.
Nun's?
Nun's farts.
A nun's fart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a fact or a fib? Would I make that up?
Let's say fact.
It's a fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny. How do you know that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
French cool. donuts are nun's
so,
farts.
So tell us the story behind that.
Yeah, I would love to know that story.
Wow.
I'm not sure. Yeah, we need a French guy in here.
A nun's fart. Excellent.
Okay, last one to do with donuts. So have you heard of Bridget Jones, the movie or the book?
Yes.
So apparently for the second movie, Renee Zellweger, the lead character, she had to put on quite a bit of weight to get ready for the role. And she
Fact.
Said...
She ate a lot of donuts.
Yes, apparently she had to eat Big Macs and chips and pizzas and 20 donuts a day.
Oh no.
To get ready for that role.
That poor lady.
There you go.
That's dedication for you.
Yeah. Well,
so 20 donuts.
20 donuts
and
a day.
Burgers.
Yeah, Big Macs, chips, potatoes swimming in butter, pizzas, and milkshakes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. That's
well,
the life, really,
there
isn't
you go.
It?
So if you want to put on weight, eat lots of donuts.
Okay. So the next recipe, you have, you've actually called this the best ever drinking snack.
Yes.
Dried squid.
Yes.
Now, How did that even come about? Like, who thought, yeah, let's flatten out these squid, let's kind of smoke them, cook them, and dry them out, and then put them in, like,
sauce.
Oh, my gosh,
that's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the coastal areas of Asia or Vietnam, we're talking about, or Thailand, there's a lot of fishing, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of calamari, a lot of squid. And so we need to preserve that. And to dry any seafood, particularly squid, it really intensifies the flavor. And so when you dry it out, how did they get to flatten it out, right? I guess squid, when you dry it out, it gets a bit chewy.
Mm.
So if the more you flatten it, the easier it is to kind of, you know, chew it and bite off the pieces. Hence, they put it through this beautiful press, right? Which is gorgeous. And you know, that dish in the book and also on the show, I loved the actual press.
Mm.
You know, I love watching the vendor do his thing. The squid, of course, is amazing, but this old press, this cast iron press from Japan, it was this pastel green color. And I love old tools like that they use. And it was an old sugarcane press. You know, big sugarcane, they put it through and the juice comes out. So he used that to press this this dried squid, and it put all these beautiful patterns on the squid. And that's an experience on its own, just watching that and seeing the tools of his trade.
Can they put any other kind of seafood through it?
Yeah, I reckon, dried fish can go through
anything there.
Anything, for sure. Yeah, you can press anything through there. If you want to make a juice, press it through. That'd be awesome.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, so is this a fact or a fib? So squid, certain species of squid can actually make people really happy because of the ink. Some species have this special ink where it contains very high levels of dopamine.
Wow.
And dopamine is that kind of neurochemical that makes us really euphoric.
That's really interesting because every time I eat squid ink in my food, I feel very happy.
Really?
Yes. All the time. So I get quite excited before I eat the squid. So I would say fact.
That is actually true.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't know. Wait, so it's also believed that the ink makes other fish happy too. So it's a lot easier for the squid to
escape.
Pounce on. No, and kind of grab their next meal.
Okay, because the squid ink is also used as a defense mechanism.
As well.
So if they have predators come, it squirts out the ink and it makes the other predator's happy, I guess, and then it can scurry away.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
cool. Whether it actually makes the squid happy, we don't know.
It's a good fact. Thanks for that.
Yeah. And another thing, so neuroscientists apparently, you know, when they're in training, they can't actually kind of work on live bodies when they first start. So apparently they work on certain species of squid.
To do what?
To kind of play around with the, you know, the body of the squid.
As they do
frogs.
Because
they're a lot thicker than, say, human nerves.
Right.
Yeah.
Fact.
Fact.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Okay.
Go.
Squid's a very interesting species.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tasty too. Tasty too.
I like handling squid.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, last one. We have the green papaya salad.
Yes.
So from Bangkok? From Bangkok.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so fact or fiction? A small papaya contains approximately 200% of your recommended daily intake of vitamin C.
Fact.
Incorrect.
Oh, really?
It contains 300%.
Oh, excellent. One small papaya.
One small papaya. Yeah,
that's a lot
of vitamin C,
yeah.
Yeah, forget about oranges and mandarins.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go.
That's why we eat lots of it, you know?
Yeah, and it's just so tasty.
And food in Asia, it's all about freshness and eating healthy things. Not 20 donuts a day.
No, not like some other countries. We won't mention them. Okay, so in many parts of the world, an unripe papaya is actually considered to be a contraceptive.
True.
Yes.
True. Yes.
And papaya contains a lot of latex. So people who have a latex allergy.
True.
Oh, yes.
Because many of my chefs has that issue.
Really?
Yeah. So actually, they have that reaction, so they put gloves on.
and that solves the problem.
So true. Yes.
True. You know how they say if you eat a lot of carrots, you sometimes tend to turn a bit orange, like your hands and the soles of your feet.
Right.
Apparently, maybe, if you eat a lot of papaya, the same thing happens.
Wow, I've never seen it before, so I would say false. Fib.
Apparently it's true.
It's true.
Yeah, so, I know papaya is good for you and has all that vitamin C, but maybe don't eat too much.
Yeah, true. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Definitely don't eat it when you're pregnant.
Well, if you don't want to get pregnant either, yeah. So I just wanted to finish off by just kind of asking you a few questions.
Sure.
Is there a chef that you are insanely jealous of?
Jealous?
Yes, because they do fantastic work and you wish you had come up with it.
No.
Their ideas.
Definitely not jealous. Definitely
admire.
Envious. admire. Let's talk about Australian chefs.
Yeah.
Luke Mangan, Neil Perry, all those guys that are doing so much, not just in Australia, but the world, you know, and that's really admirable.
Yeah.
And just not just doing one thing, but they do multiple things. I don't know how they do it. You know, they got such a great team behind them. And, you know, they're really, you know, steering the path of culinary geniuses of Australia, you know, and these guys are the godfathers of that. And I think we all have to look up to these guys and respect them. Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So, you know, with certain people, like photographers say, if they go traveling, they'll carry their most kind of prized equipment with them. Like, they won't check it in. It's always, you know, carry on equipment. When you travel, is there like a cooking utensil you always carry with you? You won't ever check it in. It always has to come with you.
I never travel with cooking utensils because it's always sharp. But I always, you know, look at the cover of this book, right? How I've got a backpack on.
You've got a backpack, yeah.
And I always travel with a backpack because I always have tools in them. So people ask, what do you put in that backpack? And I've always got my knives in there.
Yeah?
It's not for self-defense, but for cooking. I've got my knives.
Okay.
Yep. Throughout the whole show, because I do cooking as well.
You've always
got to carry your own knives.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but when I'm on the plane, for example, I've always got a little notebook that I don't travel without.
Yep.
So I can just jot things down when I'm traveling, ideas, ingredients, flavors. When I'm talking to a vendor, you know, little recipes that they might just verbal to me.
Yeah.
So you have to, you put all this down, or else you forget. Yeah. So I'm always writing things down. Yeah.
And, all right. I really wanted to ask you about Vietnamese coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine introduced me to it many years ago in the Czech Republic of all places.
Really?
And okay. I've loved it ever since, but I can't seem to find a good cup here in Australia. Where do I go? Or how do I make it at home?
Wow.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, if you don't want to make it at home, you go to Red Lantern on Riley
really?
Street in Darlinghurst.
I've never heard of that place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do the traditional drip coffee. Or if you want to make it at home, you can. And you just go to an Asian market that has Vietnamese or Thai ingredients.
Yep.
And there's a brand which you wouldn't forget, and the surname of the brand is my name, right? And the first, so it's Trung Nguyen, so it's
yep.
T-R-U-N-G,
Trung, yep.
and then Nguyen, Trung Nguyen. And so that's the brand that we buy
yep.
in Australia. And it's really great, complex flavours, caramel, deep chocolate, nutty,
nice.
Strong.
Nice.
Mm.
You know, I've just realised now that I've been pronouncing your name wrong. I'm so
oh, no,
sorry.
No. So my name is pronounced Nguyen,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Vietnamese is very tonal.
Yeah.
But the coffee is Nguyen, Trung Nguyen. Yeah. But Australians say Nguyen or
Nguyen. Yeah, so we apologize.
Right.
I apologize on behalf of all of Australians.
Yeah, but you said it fine. No problems at all. But when you do buy the coffee,
yeah.
right, you have to buy the drip as well, right?
Yeah.
The French drip.
Yeah.
So it's, two large tablespoons of ground coffee
yeah.
into the drip. And then into the glass or cup, 2 teaspoons of condensed milk.
Okay.
Yeah. And
yep.
then just put that onto the cup, pour hot water, and just wait for
drip.
It to drip. Yeah. So it needs to drip like this. Drip.
Yeah,
drip.
It takes a while. Eh?
Drip. But if it drips too quickly, then it's really weak. So you make
okay.
sure you've got 2 heaped tablespoons of the coffee. Press it down as you would with an espresso.
Yep.
Press it down and let it drip slowly.
Excellent.
And be patient because it's a good cup of coffee.
Yeah,
yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
What's next for me? I'm opening a restaurant in Hong Kong, and so for a new series, for example, I would love to include Hong Kong in the street food.
Yeah.
Taipei would be awesome. Seoul, Tokyo, but you know, not just only street food, but hidden eats as well. Yeah,
excellent.
You know, so for example, if you're going through, if you walk through Hong Kong,
yeah,
there might be a fantastic little eatery up on the 50th floor of this apartment building. Wouldn't know.
Not many people know about it.
No.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to show people all these little unique places. Yeah. So yes, new restaurant called Moi Moi
yep.
in Hong Kong Central, coming
mm-hmm.
soon in November.
Oh, soon.
Soon.
Next month.
Yes. Yeah, late November.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us today at Booktopia. Don't forget, everyone, if you want
yes.
Luke's new book or any of his previous books, head on over to booktopia.com.au.
Thank you, Booktopia, for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.